Or God is with me. Or what is on the face of the coin of your heart? You can title this however you want. Let me ask you something. It said that character is what you do when nobody's looking. Is that accurate? Is that what you've heard? That's wrong. Because God is always looking to the Christian, right? He's looking to everybody, but he's looking to us as well. So whatever you're doing off on the side, he's full on aware. Is God with us? You know, we pray God be with us, right? Anybody who's been here any length of time know that I drone on this. God is always with us. You're going to be getting a lot of scripture today, so get out your sheet of paper. Right in front of you, pin in there as well. If not, reach over the side. You've got this big chunk of real estate on this end. Write all your general notes. Over here is your scripture, and this down here at the bottom is the takeaway. What would you tell somebody else? What was your aha? That way, when we ask later, you just go, oh, it's right here. On the back is all the stuff about us, and then there's usually another little prayer request. If you have any prayer request, by default, they're private, and they go to myself or Pastor Brent. If they're public, they just go out to email, and then if we don't have any of your information, you're not going to get your emails. So make sure we get the information, put it in the giving box at the back, and there you go. God with us? Yes. Matthew 28 and 20. Don't bring it up yet, but you don't go there. Just we'll come back to it at the end of this thing. But it says, dot, 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 I am always with you. I am with you always, in all ways. What does always mean? Forever, all the time. Front, back, side to side, top to bottom, all around. You can't hide. Now, do you guys remember where we're at in Scripture as far as Joseph? Right? Joseph got taken from his dad. We think taken from his family, and that's true, but he really got taken from his dad because the dad was the one that gave him the coat of many colors, right? And his older brothers got tired of his upstart ways. What do you mean having dreams we're going to bow down to you? Bow down? Bow down? Yeah, even the 11 stars and the moon and the sun, that's mom and dad, bow down. And their mom and dad are kind of like, dude, what's up with you? But the dad remembered that something was going on with the brother. Remember how we talked about you'll see God working with somebody? You're kind of like, you know what? They're kind of cocky and still a dude in training. We call them G-mits, God men in training, or a G-wit, God women in training. And they're still in training, making some mistakes, but you kind of see something that's going on with that person. And that's what his daddy did. But his brothers have had enough from him. You know, as we remember, they were supposed to take the flock out in one location that they were up in Dothan. Right? And they weren't supposed to be there, and he had to go looking for them because they weren't where they were supposed to be. And dad sent out the youngest because he was a man of character at a 17-year-old age. 17. And he found them. And they saw him afar off. Had nothing to do with flames. They saw him afar off, and they wanted to kill him that far out. Within eyeshot, let alone earshot, they wanted him dead. And he comes in to check up on him, and they had enough of him, rip his coat off, throw him in a cistern, a well, a dry well, right? Killed a kid, goat, rubbed the blood on the coat of many colors, and took it back to daddy, said he's dead, right? That's kind of where all that went. They had no regard for their father who fed them, who gave them a future, who gave them a life, who gave them food, who gave them vision. They cared nothing about him, or they would not have killed that son off. Kind of sounds like us with our dad, right? I mean, dad. And it's saddening to see, but that's what they want to do. And they say, oh, no, wait a minute. Let's not just kill the guy. Let's make a little coin off of him. Let's make some money off of this guy. See, what happens is when you're sold into slavery, understand, everything that you know in your life right now is over. Say over. Over. It's done. You know what happens is you're sold. It's horrible to sell a human being. You're stripped of your entire future. You're stripped from that. All the dreams you've ever had, all the wishes, all the goals, gone. A family, raising children, raising sons, raising daughters, being married, having lineage and grandkids, that stuff, done. Having a family business, done. All sold over lock, stock, and barrel. You're over. And that's horrible. I was reading in some online where one of the football players their wives said that the NFL is like modern day slavery in sale. And I was like, that's not true. Because you have a mind and you're going, you made a business decision with your life to go play in the NFL. And if you get traded, that you knew that going in. You've grown up from to, and you've seen it your whole life. You know that's the way it goes. To say that that's modern day slavery is a disservice to those who've been enslaved. You went to college, you went to high school, you played really well, you got better, your skill set was in the upper tier. Then you went to college and you had upper tier skills or an upper tier heart. Maybe you were a walk-on that had an incredible heart to play the game, but you got a college degree. If you got a college degree, that tells me you can write, pen, paper, you can write and you can read. I don't know why I get Southern when I get goofy. You can understand contracts because you studied some form of law in college, right? You have a college degree. Now, I know what's said about athletes, and I warn against that. Not all of them are challenging in their grades. But still, having a college degree is even more so than somebody that got up to third or fourth grade. Would you agree with that? I mean, to some kind of degree? Degree. You have the ability to read. You know full well why you're even in the business. You know that you want to go there so you can get in the NFL, right? And then to say that that's like slavery. Dude, you're making 24 mil a year, or you're making 700,000 entry level a year. You know, when the average wage is 55,000 a year, 57,000 roughly a year now in Colorado, this isn't like pansy little stuff going on here. You got a real deal going on. And to say that's slave trading? No, that's not slave. That's not slavery. That's bringing an amazing negative to that. You know, America has its own problems with slavery. You know, we've had tons of stuff happening in the negative. But I have to tell you something. Getting a college degree and going into a work field, that's not slavery. My brother-in-law was a vice president in oil companies and a president of an oil company. I've seen him work harder than the working man, what I hear about. If you're working, you're working. It doesn't matter if you have a white, gray, or blue collar. It don't matter if you have short or long sleeves. You're working. And I've seen him many months being away from his family so he could take care of his own. I saw him turn white hair to gray hair to white at a very young man because he worked so hard, right? But he also got moved around to different sections. So you go in with a corporation and you get transferred, right? Or you lose your job sometimes. Or you can just walk away from the job, but you still have a choice in the matter. That's not slavery. That's choice. That's opportunity. And to hear people say that, they've got a very dim view of what's going on, because as bad as the slave trade was here, did you know that the Indians did that too here before anybody from Europe came or China came or from the South come? This was done. A tribe would overcome another tribe and they would take their people in to do whatever needed in the work. They would have in battle. They didn't just come together and say, hey, how you doing? I mean, the game lacrosse is between 400 and 600 years old. And when the French came to Canada, they saw the tribesmen playing, and they estimated the game was between 400 and 600 years old. And the reason that they called it lacrosse, because the stick they said looked like a cross. The field was a mile wide by 10 miles long. And that was a way to settle tribal arguments. And they would crack each other, break each other's bones playing it. Oh, how's your pads going for you? No. But if you won, you got land and a girl. You know? Good trade. Good trade, right? Well, how about the Irish? You know, the English took the Irish, 15 and older, the males, and put them into slavery. They took the women and brought them to America and bred them with the Africans so they could get a cheaper product and the same outcome. Did you know of those stories? No, because they're not taught. Slavery is old. It's not new. It's not recent. It's super old. You know, you sit here and you think of Boko Haram. You remember the 217 gals that got taken out of the Christian school, the Chibok girls? They found like 110 of them, but there's still 100 and whatever's left, 50, 60 left, unfound. You understand when they took girls out of the Christian school, what's going to happen to them, right? They're going to go plant flowers and daisies and make masa, and here we go. No, that is not what's happening. Let me be careful. They impregnate, and once they're impregnated, their belief is once they're impregnated, they're no longer Christian, they're now Muslim. That's not true. But that's the belief in that scenario. That's slavery. That's slavery. North Korean camps, the labor camps, Russia, you know, any of you guys knew of Russia, the USSR, when it had all those other countries as part of them, you understand if you didn't fall in line with what they wanted in USSR, you went to labor camps, you know, the Gulag in Germany, right? You had the whole thing with the World War II. 6 million Christians and Jews were killed. We say 6 million Jews, but there's Christians as part of that. You understand? Because Hitler took out all the pastors and put his people in place so he can further his agenda, much like England did with the Church of England. That's why we have separation of powers in the sense of having the freedom of religion in government and out of government, right? Separation of power, strike that. The deal is this. You have the same in China. Go share the Bible in China. See how far that goes for you, because they just, within the last week, 10 days, cracked down firmly on Christians because it's a threat to the governing body. There's a lot of that kind of stuff going on, right? Between a third and a half of the Roman Empire was slaves. When you conquer a country, they become yours. You got that, right? When you conquer a country, whoever's there, whatever's there is yours. Bosnia-Herzegovina and Kosovo? Yeah. Slovakia, that whole area through there, they were annihilating each other, and they would kill the boys 15 and older and leave them in the streets, and that's why there's no elders in some of those climates, you know, to annihilate those. It's a horrendous act, and the slavery is the worst of the worst, and in Egypt it's a normal thing, but how normal is it in America? Do you know that we have between 15 and 18,000 people that are brought here as slaves to America annually right now? Isn't that crazy? Do you know how many are sold into slavery a year in the world? 600,000 to 800,000. Do you know how many are enslaved right now worldwide? 20 to 30 million right now, this second. The export of America is 80% of them are women, and 50% of the 80s are girls. You don't think that little wee one right there ain't under our protection right now? Because we don't want, and you men know this, I've called you out on this for years, is that we watch our kids. It's not the women's job, it's our job. We watch these kids. When they go out that door, there dang sure better be somebody right there watching them, because I don't want somebody coming by in a pickup and going like this, grabbing them and out the door, because it's that quick. We've all seen the Walmart photos, videos, where they reach down, they grab a kid, and they're out the door just like that. Are you scared? You should be. You should watch your kids like a hawk, because San Diego, San Francisco, and L.A. is the number one exporter, and Dallas, Fort Worth is the number one call-in of kids that are missing, and they cross them over the border, either north or south or across the water, or take them internal right here in America today. Sex slave is 80%, 19% is labor, 1% is whatever's left over. 80% sex, 19% labor, 1% miscellaneous. Isn't that crazy? This is not something that's new. This is something that's been going on for years. I mean, between 1580 or 25 and 1866, the 341-year period, there were 12.5 million slaves sold to the Americas from Africa. Thank you, Portuguese. Thank you, Spaniards. Thank you, Brits. Thank you, Africans that sold your own people. Of course, we know that Egypt held the Jews for 400 years in slavery, and that's Africa. The Africans held the Israelis. 10.7 survived the trip. Almost 5 million went to Brazil alone. In America, there were, over that 340-year period, 1,320 slaves brought into America a year in the total of the 400,000 range, 450,000 range. You know, we think of millions of slaves coming here. They didn't. They went down south, Mexico, the islands, mainly the islands, and into South America. And 450,000 was 450,000 too many minus those that died. You know, having a desire over somebody else goes back at the garden level and the first siring of children. We talked about Cain and Abel. So this, him taking life over the other, having a desire over somebody else, this thing is crazy. Do you want to know how many billions of dollars it is in the training or the taking of people? $32 billion annually in slave trade alone. And you want to hear something else? 15.5 billion people, 15.5 billion are in industrialized areas. That's not third world, that's first world. Take a wild guess how much the average slave goes for. Wild guess, go. Huh? 2 cents? A little low. Go. $90. What's your cell phone a month? About 100? Bing! Another one sold in slavery. Bing! Another one sold in $90 for a human lifetime to do whatever you want to do with them. And that's macabre. It's just macabre. It's just engrossed sin. Got a guy I'm counseling right now, and he's not here in this church or in this state. But he has egregious sin. And the funny thing with him on this sin is, as I've been talking to him as early as yesterday, he says, I don't want to stop sinning. Dude, I can't help you, bro. Your God is not big. God is not big enough for you because you want to do what you're doing more than God. Jesus is not big enough for you because you want to do what you're doing. You know, you can either, as Joshua said, go the way of our fathers in Egypt or go the way of the Amorites ahead of us. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You see. But that Jesus is not big enough that they'll continue to go on sinning, it broke my heart because I don't want to hear the level of sin that's going on because he gives me details. I'm like, bro, this isn't TMI. This is get out of my eye. And I don't want to work with him. I don't want anything to do with it. It's a disgusting thing. But you know what? God is not like that. God wants us to stay connected. He wants us to work through the challenging times. Guy's bound up on his own. To have an NFL wife say that slavery is the NFL modern day trade when your husband made $24 million, are you serious? Slavery has been around a long time, and it will be a long time until the Lord comes back and gets us again. And Joseph was taken from the country to go with the Ishmaelites to go down to the Egyptians. What happens there? New smell, new food, new city, new clothes, new everything. New language, good luck. And what does he do? He thrives. He thrives. He doesn't have the cool evenings. You guys that ride motorcycles know what it's like. You're riding through the city, you get out of the city, and you'll feel the cool drop about 10 degrees. Sometimes 15 degrees, depending on the time of day. You'll get on the bike and roll through, and you'll feel and smell the smells of the city. When I used to work downtown Denver, we were 16 to 15. We were a block and a half off of Colfax, and I go down to the food source, and I would, you know, the street smelled like fecal matter and urine from the people that were there the night before, the people that lived there on the streets through the day and night, and it's on the ground all the time. No way I'm wearing flip flops down there. No way. No way. And the smells are of the city and the food, and it's like, oh, and that's why I love getting to the country, because you smell the earth, you smell the moisture, you smell that fresh air and skunks. I mean, that skunk smell is the best. It'll open your sinuses quicker than any you can come up with, right? Just drive by a dead skunk, you'd be like, whoo, I'm working now. Or go squeeze one, but don't get too close. Everything has changed for him. The matter of what he's going to eat, the matter of his dress, his interaction, his dialogue, the air that he smells, all his dress style is new. And not only that, he sold on the barrel to the head of the Secret Service for Pharaoh, and his name is Potiphar. And that's where we're going to pick up right here. Father, your word, please, as you see fitting. Genesis 39.1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. Don't need to pray, Lord, be with me. You don't have to pray that prayer. Just acknowledge that he already is. You don't have to pray that prayer. I know we pray because it's habitual and it brings a comfort, Better prayer is this: Lord, we know that you're with us. Thank you for reminding us. Instead of, Lord, be with you. Bro, didn't I always tell you I would be with you always? And he said he was with him, right? The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was the master, and he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. I mean, this dude had it going on. Do we have Deuteronomy 31, 6, and then 8? It'll be up on the screen if you're writing Deuteronomy 31 and 8. Be strong and of good courage, because he had bad courage, Joshua. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you in your challenge. Next screen, please. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave. Wills are promises. Shalls are promises. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Don't freak out, pal. This guy's character, he saw that the Lord was with him, right? And his master saw the Lord was with him, and he saw that in 3, that all that he did to prosper in his sight was his hand. And even his master saw that the Lord had prospered him. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. And then he made him an overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. Look, this Egyptian dude, this chief of secret service, saw the Lord in the person that was there, and he attributed the acts to the Lord. Do you understand? This is big news. And he was blessed. We think a blessing means to give me something. There's a couple of terms for bless. One of them is to be made happy, you know. The other one is to praise God. The blessing is to literally kneel and praise God. You know, we sit there and talk about writing the notes. When was the last time you literally kneeled just to praise God? I can't do it because my knees are sore right now, and I'm going to have a couple of you strong fellas get me back up, but visualize me and praising God, right? That's what this is. Can we get Psalm 16:7, please? 16:7. I will bless the Lord. I will kneel and bring adoration to the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. Psalm 103.1, please. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Right? O my soul. And all that is within me. Everything that is in me, I will kneel and praise to the Lord. Bless his holy name. .22, please. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You think you got fingerprints on anything? Release the grip. It's all his, and it's all his fingerprints. And by the way, the one that made all of this can handle your little problems and your big ones. Don't lose sight of that. How about Psalm 104.1? Please, if we have that. Praise the Lord, praise to the sovereign Lord for his creation and providence. So that's the title. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Dude, how can this guy have such commitment? Because he loves the Lord. He knows who he is. He doesn't have to second guess and back up and wonder what's up next. He has his character in check. Character matters no matter what your situation is. The Lord is with you. Know that. His master favored him. He saw the Lord. You know, you think of 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, if, it's a requirement, my people who are called by my name, that's us, and that other people knows that we're his. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, that fast and pray, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their own sin, and I will hear them from heaven, forgive them their sin, and heal their land. This guy lives this. He lives this, right? Potiphar never had to worry one iota about anything that was in this guy. In 4 again, 39.4. So Joseph found favor in the sight and served him. Then he made him an overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under Joseph's authority, who was a slave and a foreigner to this man. He didn't even raise him up and know him. So it was in 5. So it was from the time that he had made him an overseer of his house and all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. His home was blessed, everybody in it, and everything he grew out in the field was blessed. Are you that person in your work, your home, your environment, your school, wherever you are captured or free? That type of man, that type of woman, that's the encouragement. That's the stand me up on my feet and look at his righteousness kind of stuff. That's the kind of thing that, you know, Joseph, we never see that he was grumbling. It would be eisegetical to speak that. But to know that he more than likely grumbled, because we grumble when things don't go our way. Or we'll shake our fist at the situation or even shake our fist at God. And I'm sure God knows that. Tell me when you got in trouble as a kid, you didn't mealy mouth your parents as you walked away. I'm like, gosh, I'm listening to some cuss words on the upper case of the 1 through 0 numbers on the keyboard. You probably had some things to say about your mom or dad or overseer, whoever they may have been. By the way, those parents may have said something about you, frassum kid, you know, or whatever. I'm sure my parents had a lot to say about me. I guarantee you they did. I mean, where do we think we can go from him? You're trapped into slavery. You're in great freedom. You're incarcerated in one form or another, maybe spiritually. And you know what he says in Psalm 139, 7 through 2? Where can I go from your presence? Oh, where can I flee? This is the sign language for flee. Quickly released, quickly moved. Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, dude, you're there. Even there you shall lead me, lead me, lead me. And your right hand, that's the strength hand, shall hold me. His strongest hand, metaphorically, he'll hold you. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as day, and the darkness and the light are both akin or alike to you. He sees through it all, y'all. The Lord knows our heart no matter where we run, and that's the core matter into that story. We're looking at Potty's wife, right? She wants him. He's a hunk. He's a stud. I'm like this. He's upside down V, tall top, narrow bottom, narrow waist. You know he's looking good, right? Let me find, where am I at? Oh, 6. Thus he left all he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for bread. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. By the way, this guy, all he knew is when he come home, is the supper's already served on the plate. He just sat down and had bread. What's going on with your house? Ask him. I got bread. What's going on here? Talk to him. Oh, we got a prophet? Good. Can I have another piece of bread? That's what life is like. Do you have an assistant like that? Are you an assistant that's that way? That your boss doesn't have to concern themselves over one minor or micro or finite detail because you've got that served well. And you're not serving your boss. Who are you serving? The Lord. Right? In all ways. Always. He was a good-looking fella. In 7, and it came to pass after these things, that his wife's master's wife, casting long eyes on Joseph, says, "Lie with me." She don't mean to go telling fibs. She wanted to have shaking the sheets time with him, but he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all things to my hand," meaning that he doesn't even know it because it's so well taken care of, right? And 9, there is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you're his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Not Potiphar, not the wife, not dad's name, God. See, he's calling on that relationship. In us, we call on Scripture in the relationship. He's calling on that relationship with God. It's such a firmament in his thinking, in his heart, in his soul, that he isn't moved to the left or to the right in any regard. So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her and to be with her. He's a slave. She's an owner. He's got to do what she says, but it's a moral stoppage. I'm not doing that. This is not afforded me. And can you imagine being hounded every single day in this regard? That's stupid and it sucks. And if you're sinning, you probably think that's great. But it's not great because the sin isn't against anybody but God and the bad fruit that comes from it. Oh, where am I? Yeah, 11. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was inside that she caught him by his garment and said, "Lie with me." If she's grabbing him by, that's called an assault. You understand? Grab him by the collar, grab him by his clothing and said, "Lie with me." He's out of that coat as quick as you can eat a hot dog on a hungry day. He's out of there. Woo, gone. That's called fleeing. She caught him by the garment in 12, "Lie with me," but he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Didn't walk, didn't look back, ran away from the situation. Y'all, I just want to sin. I just want to stay close to what I've been doing all this time. No, flee, run away from that stuff. Pitch that tablet as far as you can throw it and then drive over it, preferably with snow-studded tires, and be done with that thing, right? And it was so in 13, and so it was in 13, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and he fled outside, that she called to the men of the house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew, Demachus, and he came in to lie with me. And I cried out with a loud voice, and it happened when I heard that I had lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside." Lie upon lie upon lie. And you know darn good and well, those guys that worked in that thing, she'd come onto them too. This was not the first time. The guards and the servants and all the above. I'm used to getting whatever I want. And that's what happens. When we have abundance, we have expectation, and it's beyond the norm. You can go down the Cheerio aisle, the cereal aisle in a store, and you guys know what it's like, right? You see tons of cereal. They got two, not just one aisle. When I was a kid, they had a section. Then they have a bigger section. They got a whole aisle on one side, a whole aisle on another, and end caps to bring you into the desire. You know how it is. You how many different kinds of Cocoa Puffs and Cheerios can you get? Top to bottom. What? The only good kind. That's what happened. Too many decisions. Too much expectation. You don't like Burger King, you go to Wendy's. You don't like Wendy's, you go to McDonald's. You go wherever you want, super salad pick. You got more decisions than Carter's got little pills. Way too many decisions. People come to this country and they're like freaked out. They literally go into a spiral. In their country, there's a duck, there's a chicken, there's some vegetables. Give me the duck. Here, we're like, what part of the duck? How do you want it done? Would you like it prepared? Would you like it dehydrated? What do you want? Do you want fake duck? Do you want vegan duck? Do you want a duck for cover? Whatever. You can get any kind of whatever you want, right? And it freaks. Too much choice, too much expectation. Too much world, not enough word. And you don't think it bothers you? Let me ask you a question. When you're standing in line at Wendy's for your salad and it's not coming out quick enough for you, and you have that little period of time, and there can only be two other three people in there, and there's four or five, and looking back there talking, look, I'm mopping them floors. Yeah, I'll put that mop down and give them my fries with them dirty hands on that dirty mop. And then you kind of wait on them a little bit, and then you're looking around at the other person side to side and kind of like, are you tired of this too? Couldn't join me in my being tired of it? And maybe 5 minutes have gone your way. That's the expectation. Boy, I told you to go over here and lie with me. So now she's going to lie because he didn't lie with her. The expectations are marvelous in a negative way. And as Americans, as specifically as Westerners, and specifically as Christians, and even more specifically capital C Christians, and even more specific than that, disciples of Christ, you have to guard against the world with the word. And the only difference is the L. It either stands for losing or loving. When it's the word, it's loving. When it's world, it's losing. Why are you bringing up all this stuff about cereal? Dude, I'm getting hungry. Suck it up, buttercup, fast. Do it real slow. It's to bring us to the understanding of why we will respond and act the way we respond and act, and does that measure up with classic Christianity in the sense of Christ, not classic as in the extent of the Victorian age. Does that make sense thus far? She had a desire to want whenever she wanted it. Again, in 15, and it happened when he heard, I lifted my voice and cried out in his garment and left me and fled outside. So she kept the garment until her master came home. And then she spoke to him in the words saying like these, saying, the Hebrew servant who you brought, it's your fault. She's not even lying. She's blaming him for the lie that she just cast. In that sense, you brought to us, came in to mock me. So it happened that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when the master heard the words, which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Look, when somebody comes to me and tells me something about somebody else, and that happens, they typically want power plaudit, or some kind of conveyance of overage to that person. They want to be over them in that sense. It's wise even to my own bride when there's something that would come to me, I need to hear the other side. I need to hear the whole thing. And then after that, I need to step away to the Holy Spirit. What are you telling me? What are you showing me? Because I'm going to tell you right now, kids, you don't understand why your parents knew you were getting in trouble and how they knew right where you were at when they did, because the Holy Spirit pricked them, and boy, they knew right what you were doing. Get your hand out of that cookie jar. My mom would do one of those. Not so much for cookies. Those lies. Perpetrating lies to cover sin. Man, it's old as the garden. It's so old. It's so old. And he got angered. And his anger around, then Joseph the master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. Dude, that's like serious big time penalty there. And he was there in prison. But the Lord, right, was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. And the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, who made prosper? The Lord made prosper, not Joseph. You get plaudits at your work. You get the pat on the back of the work. You go through some type of clinic where you have to get a certificate of completion of a job. Do you understand? You best not kiss that frame. You best not kiss that Super Bowl trophy, Lombardi. You best not kiss any of it, or you can kiss yourself away. That is God's glory. When you get a raise, or you get a pat on the back, or your kids do something well, and they're all like little duck waggling their little backside, their little tail doing that, honey, don't wag like that. When we compliment you, that's complimenting the Lord. Make sure he owns that piece. Do you understand? We had to be majorly careful. Look at what happened with this guy. Look at the character of this guy. Here we have a guy that's taken from dad, taking care of dad's stuff, sold to Potiphar, taking care of potty stuff. Got a potty mouth for a wife, and then he gets thrown into prison, and he takes care of the prison stuff, and they give him all the prisoners. Dude, why are you trying to put the bar so high on me, Dave? I can't deal like that. I can't live like that. Liar, you can too. You just have to know that God is so intrinsically important to you that none motive in your heart is more desirous than him getting the glory. Because he's with us. He's not arrogant like we would think, oh, he gets the glory, so I don't get any of it. No, that part, the second part, is arrogant. The first part is adoration. We want to give God the glory. He deserves it. You raise your children to be grounded in him. Remember when you were locked away in your room? You remember that? You were taken away. You were locked away. You remember what that felt like? You hated it, right? And for the ADD or the ADHD, they made you sit in the room and not even play with your toys or books. That was murder. What am I going to do? Sit there, do nothing. Taken from all of it, right? He does that, I think, for a reason, too. A little sidebar to this. I think he does that for a reason, to get our mind on him. The deal is this, we have peace with him. He says in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. No matter what your situation is, don't worry about it. The kind of peace that the Lord gives goes well beyond any understanding. But I can't live up to this. Again, yes, you can. You start surrendering your life in moment by moment, every single facet of your life over to him, and you'll be able to have amazing victory. You'll have setbacks, that's part of it, but the setback is to observe and move forward, and you probably could be going through a setback due to sin or an opportunity to have a challenge that God wants you to face, a challenge so that you can have help the next person that's come along behind you. They ain't here yet because they still got 7 or 8 more days till their challenge, and then you're there to be empathetic. You can give everything unto the Lord. You know, when Jesus says, what belongs to, you know, should we pay taxes? He says, whose name's on the coin? And he said, Caesar. Give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give unto God what belongs to God. That's our heart nature as well. We give it all under God. And let the government have what they're going to have. They're going to have it anyway. Give your heart back. You know, what's on the face of the coin of your heart? That's ultimately what that boils down to. God has reminded us to take every thought captive. The thought guides the heart, guides every other part of our body in Romans 12 and 2. Last piece, the results of being with him, with God, with him, with him. What it did not do by being with him for Joseph, it didn't keep him from being hated by his brothers. His brothers still hated him. Just because you're with God, people are still going to come up against you. Right? What it did not do was keep him being sold as a slave. You're still going to have challenges that you face as a Christian. It did not keep him from the most powerful of temptation, a garden-level temptation. It didn't keep him from false accusations. It didn't keep him from imprisonment, wrongfully accused. But what it did do is it kept him from sin by being with God. What it did do is allow him to see adversity in a new light because of being with God. What it did seem, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. He sees that perspective. It gave him victory in all circumstances and caused him to have rule and reign. Joseph, Christ, similitude. Joseph was rejected by his own brothers, stripped of his robe, and thrown into a pit. Christ was rejected by his own. He was stripped of his robe, condemned to death, and descended into hell, thrown in a tomb. Joseph was exemplary servant. Though he was tempted, he did not give in to temptation. Christ became a servant, and he was tempted but did not sin. Joseph was unjustly accused and condemned, as was Christ. Joseph had a meal with his brothers before it was revealed to them who he was. And when they did reveal to him, Joseph saved his brothers' lives, also saved Egypt and many others. Jesus had a Last Supper with his disciples, and after his death and resurrection, he revealed himself to them, which brought salvation for the entire world, including themselves. Joseph. In him, God partially fulfilled the promise to Abraham to bless all the nations of the world. Since Joseph's actions helped the nations of the world survive the terrible famine, in Christ, God completely filled the promise to Abraham. Since Christ died for the sins of the world, and Jesus commanded, go and make disciples of all nations. That's from Rose Publishing. This last piece, if you could screen it, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, before we do communion here. Listen to this. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, what does all mean? Authority has been given to me, Jesus, in heaven and on earth. So if he has all authority, he's conscripting with that overtone. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, that's part two, teaching them to observe all things I commanded you. What's my will for God? Converts, training. Converts, training. Say it. Converts, training. Converts, training, right? That's what it is. That's our job. Holy Spirit will take care of all that. And lo, I am with you always. Say it. Even to the end of the age. Hard for you to pray, Lord, be with me today? Lord, let me acknowledge that you're already with me today. And let me walk in a manner of that understanding, much akin to one of your created sons, Joseph. Let me be as a Christian, little Christ, to others as well. Amen? Communion's upon us now. Christ is your Savior. Communion's for you here. If communion has become a little too regular for you, and you're like, okay, this is what we do right now, please, don't come. Set aside. Take a fast from the consistency of it so that it becomes that peace where you're going, oh my God, when you said to do this in remembrance of you, there is a lot to ponder. If you're currently sinning right now, you can go to the Lord, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please confess that time. This isn't a question mark of whether we do. If you're a Christian or a disciple of Christ, we do communion. Because he said to. Not because some church has been doing it for hundreds of years, because he said to. And if Christ has called us to do things, we do that. If he's not your Savior, make him that today. Don't worry if you don't come up. Folks don't judge on that end of it. They may be thinking that you're just making that special again. Or one day, I remember when I was in the Catholic Church that from September through Easter, we weren't allowed to do communion. It broke my heart. Not because I felt it had any healing properties, because of the preciousness of the symbol of what he has done for me and got me, forget y'all, just me, that he broke me in such a way. I'm not being disrespectful to you. I'm just making this highly personal. See, this song that's being played, no matter what kind of brokenness, no matter what we're going through here, though you slay me, that means to kill me, though you slay me, yet again I worship. That's what this is about. So when you come up here, take your time. Come on up. Come on up and have some fun with the Lord again, or for a first time. Father, thank you. Woo! I think we know what slavery looks like now. And it looks totally different. But we're willful bondservant slaves to you. And we'll take that all day long. We're thankful of it. So, Father, as we do communion, do a business and a work in us. And let us see your glory in less of us. Everybody said.